You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft gets underway. The Bills, 8 picks away. The Dolphins just trading up. They missed out on Mason McCormick, the pick before, to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who draft 3 interior offensive linemen in the first 4 rounds of the NFL Draft. And some people might look at that and balk, but that's a team that's rebuilding the trenches up front. And I don't necessarily hate it. McCormick, I viewed as a guy that if the Bills got, could potentially come in and start competing with David Edwards for the left guard position. He's a good player. I believe it was South Dakota State, Jackrabbits, I think.
Yep.
So that's a nice player there for Pittsburgh, and I think that was somebody the Miami Dolphins would have been targeting as they trade into the pick immediately after. So something to keep an eye on there. So the run on receivers, I guess we could call it the run on receivers, has finally happened. We're down to Malik Washington, Brendan Rice, Jacob Cowing from Arizona, Johnny Wilson, Florida State, teammate of Keon Coleman, Anthony Gould from Oregon State, Jamari Thrash from Louisville. That's kind of the draftable, at least fourth-round draftable players here as the Bills get into 128. I'm starting to look in other positions at this point. Maybe running back could be a move here. You know, Audric Estime still on the board from Notre Dame here at this point in the fourth round. Really, every running back outside the top three, Trey Brenson, Blake Corum, and Jonathan Brooks, everyone else, I believe also, if I'm not mistaken, Marshawn Lloyd went to went to Green Bay yesterday. But Braylon Allen, Audric Estime, Bucky Irving out of Oregon, Ray Davis from Kentucky, Will Shipley from Clemson, Jalen Wright from Tennessee. So a lot of guys still available at the running back position if the Bills want to address that here. That could be a real opportunity as well. Defensive end, we heard one of the callers earlier talk about Mo Kamara. That's a name at defensive end the Bills could look at addressing here as well. So some options left for Brandon Bean and the Bills as we head towards the end of the fourth round.
I wonder if they go in the secondary here. Like, they already took safety yesterday.
DJ Tampa still available?
DJ Tampa, I like maybe a potentially guy like Miles Harden out of South Dakota State, just because they have gone that FCS route. Guy that's a little bit older. I mean, this draft it's been a lot of the younger guys that they're getting, but maybe somebody a little bit older, a lot of college experience coming in. Maybe they want to help out the secondary. There is somewhat of a need there. I know Aaron Sacabaccio brought it up yesterday that while it wasn't a first or second round need, pretty much after that, it kind of becomes a need of just, you know, filling essentially what is that Tre'Davious White spot and what kind of that spot became, which is a spot filler for the most part. They have guys like Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford and Taron Johnson kind of locking down the starting roles, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to get somebody just in who, solid, not bad, gets it done. They're very good at that. You look at guys like Dane Jackson and, well, Christian Benford are two of these late-round corners that they get that just get it done. They just run the system really, really well. So I got my eyes on cornerback pretty hard for really the rest of the day. At some point, I think they're going to take somebody.
Oh, absolutely. This is a team that typically loves to throw a pick at a cornerback a lot when it comes to historically here. last year they drafted Alex Austin at the end of the draft.
That's right, yep.
A couple years ago. It turned out a lot better than anyone would have expected, but Christian Benford, Damar Hamlin, Rashad Wild
Goose.
And
a running back. I don't know how many running backs the Dolphins are going to use, but apparently more.
I actually did kind of like the idea of Jalen Wright for the Bills because he's a little bit different speed than what they have at running back now. He did kind of make a bit of sense for them. I do like, though, that Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin is still there. He still has not been taken. He is a guy very much. He's 6'2", 235 pounds, and runs nothing like it. He is a more of a speed guy. He's more of a finesse guy. Jalen Wright, I kind of like the idea potentially for the Bills to go get him as just, you know, a fifth, sixth round guy. But he gets taken here in the later rounds of, or the later bit of the fourth round. Could be interesting, though. But yeah, again, the Bills kind of every year do take a DB late. You've also got guys like Rashad Wild Goose as well.
And then Dane Jackson the year prior to that. Like, yeah, but it's typically 6 and 7.
Yeah,
it's not usually earlier.
I'm looking at this, yeah, like even Jaquan Johnson,
yeah,
as well. It's usually later round guys.
Yeah, they throw their dartboard at the secondary typically in round 6 and 7.
Later.
And they don't have a whole heck of a lot of selections there. They have the 1-6th and then the first pick of the 7th round.
Well, I mean, when you have 4 5th round picks,
that's true.
Let's just start treating them like 6 and 7.
Also, is anyone else here surprised that the Miami Dolphins drafted the second highest 40 time of the draftable running backs on Dave Rubin?
I, for one, am stunned and I'll never recover.
I'm this is my surprised face for anyone on Facebook Live.
Like, at some point, though, they got to get, like,
so
just a
shocked
mean dude from the Big Ten, right?
No, that's not how McDaniel likes his guys. He likes his speed, and I don't blame him for that. The NFL is built for finesse.
It is and it isn't. Like, it's super
in
fun.
In some senses, the rules are built for it.
It's super fun in the regular season, and then they play any team that's above 500, and they get just dog-walked. I mean, they go into the playoff game where it's not 45 and up,
also just,
and they die. Well,
to be fair, that's just have a competent defense, not even a good one.
Yeah, I mean, but it feels like their entire team is built off of, honestly, they
offense go Burr.
Offense go Burr, but they kind of fit where they're from, a lot like the Rams fit L.A. We're not drafting unknown dudes. We're here to get stars. And even if we get, like, that surprise unknown guy, it surprises everybody. Like, Puka Nacua surprised everybody. They go and get stars. The last first-round pick they made before this year was in 2016. That guy is not on the team anymore. He is in Detroit, and he's been in Detroit for a few years.
As a matter of fact, you paired several first-round picks with him.
To go get his ultimately successor in Stafford. Where Miami, it's flashy. It's bright lights. It's big personalities. But ultimately, it feels very surface level. Like, again, Tua Tagovailoa is going to get paid a lot of money this year. And we still have questions about his health. We have huge questions about him going anything off of his first read. We have questions about him just playing against teams that are above 500.
Miami just being window dressing.
They had the AFC East wrapped up. It was done. And they lost to an abysmal Tennessee Titans team in historic fashion. And then at home, you got the dreaded Buffalo Bills. You can't beat them. This is how you get past them. They've had a down year. They've kind of had to change everything up to win these last, 6-7 games to even be in this spot. Let's go get them. And you never looked competitive. You still can't stop Josh Allen.
They looked competitive. They had the lead for a decent chunk of the game until Deontay Hardy went
fast. And did any one of us
fast.
Think they were going to win? Did any of us actually have any fear?
No, because the Bills were making the turnovers that were just
exactly
plaguing them
you
in
still
the early season.
You still couldn't stop Josh Allen. You still couldn't trust Tua Tagovailoa to get him. It was more the Bills were like, this year's been weird for us, I know. I mean, that was
It was a microcosm of the entire season
it was
in
the
that
whole
game. Like, it was a rocky middle of the game, and then you're just like, all right, no, we got this from here.
That was your moment to go get him. And again, and we got our first punter off the board. Seriously, Chicago, you have 4 picks in this draft. You drafted a punter?
Yo.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I have something funny to hit on here.
He's from Iowa. He's got a lot of work.
I tweeted about TJ Tampa, and somebody posted a screenshot of his ESPN draft profile. Matt Miller's pro comp, Kyer Elam.
Oh,
Everyone tweeting at me. I know why he's dropping.
That wraps up Chicago's draft, by the way. The entirety of it. They're done.
Oh, I wish I was in Chicago, Mita.
They took a punter, and now they're done.
Look, I'll be honest, though, having watched
which is normal
Iowa
for
football,
a six-round pick.
Having watched every Iowa game in the last 15 years.
Clearly.
That
really
dude has got some work. Like, he has used that leg.
Oh, yeah.
If I'd watched more than one full Iowa game, I'd be like the I'd be like the guy from, you know, SpongeBob. My life! My life!
If you watched six plays.
I didn't think that would be the SpongeBob reference we get today, but here we are.
The Texans are day three is unhinged behavior. Cade Stover going to the Texans, so we also have another tight end off the board as well.
I like Stover. I'm surprised he's fallen this far.
We got Sketch on TV.
Yeah, Sketch. I mean, he's really risen to like incredible popularity.
It was overnight.
Like the last like month.
Sketch. He's the streamer who is amazing at trash talk. He seems like this teenager, but he's really 25.
He's
25.
Yeah.
He looks 15.
He's 25.
I like when they put up there too. They're just like, I don't really know what he does. Influencer, done.
I mean, close enough.
It's close enough.
It's funny. Like, I started seeing all these videos of people saying, "What's up, brothers?" And I was like, "What?
Special teams, special players?"
Yeah, and like, all the whole gambit.
He's got like.
But it's
a
funny.
Lot of
every time it comes up, I watch it, and he's hilarious.
Yeah, it works. It's a lot of fun. By the way, speaking of the Texans, I saw C.J. Stroud. He was on a podcast with Micah Parsons.
Yeah, this was really good insight.
We've
got
to talk about Micah Parsons having no ball knowledge. They were talking about what the toughest division was last year. And CJ Stroud's like, AFC North. Like, there was no bad teams. Which, like, is...
And what did Parsons say?
The NFC East, because of preseason projections. We'll watch the video in the break, but, like, his...
Washington was cheeks.
His whole thing was, but, like, New York, they got Darren Waller. They got Darren Waller, and CJ Stroud's
and the
Stroud
Giants
just
were
like,
cheeks.
Yeah, and CJ Stroud's like, what are you talking about? Like, no one was good.
And he didn't pick his own division as a bias. Like that just sounds like Parsons wanted to toot his own horn there.
No, he's like Dallas, we were picked third, and like, and all this thing goes great. Like, but like, Washington's nothing. The Giants are bad.
And the Eagles collapsed themselves away from the division.
Oh man, I mean, that's a team. I like what their draft or how their draft is going. They really retooled that secondary.
But
NFC East, I don't think they have a head coach.
Yeah,
man.
No, the NFC East is like that Mario Party video of like. They sit still,
yeah.
And all three other balls just knock themselves out.
That's why I think the Jaden Daniels pickup by Washington is sneaky, like really interesting, because I still have questions about Jalen Hurts as a franchise quarterback now that Sirianni. No, not Nick Sirianni. Who is Shane Steichen? There we go. Now that he went to Indianapolis, you saw that offense collapse into all
but then Philadelphia
really
also went, hey, I know what's going to stop our slide. Matt Patricia, call the defense.
Yeah, it's just the Eagles are interesting where I think Howie Roseman is one of, if not the best GM in football right now. I think it's between guys like him and Brett Veach. But
Nate said they can't keep getting away with this.
Yeah, and they traded down with the Miami Dolphins and got a future third-round pick.
They got a third-round pick in next year's draft, and so you already know that one's going to be used on an injured defensive tackle that's just going to slide right into their starting lineup immediately out of Georgia. They're going to love that. But I just... They're a team. I'm at the same point I was when they had Carson Wentz a few years ago, where I'm like, I love the team. I don't know what's going on at quarterback. I don't know what happened there. Hurts went from a year ago, you saw the ascension, really peaked at the Super Bowl where he ultimately loses, but oh my gosh, like he's going toe-to-toe with Mahomes. And then this year, never got the feeling that they were on the right page. They've now, Nate, what do they got? Like $100 million between two wide receivers and Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown.
Between their quarterback and top two wide receivers, I think it's yearly $105 million. No, I'm sorry, $155 million?
It's between three guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry, $105 million.
$105 million. Okay. So, yep. But like ultimately, like, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, you're getting young on defense, but that's a lot. And potentially we're unsure on your quarterback because the offensive coordinator left and you could do the Philly. You could do the tush push. That's it.
Yep.
And also you lost what everyone agreed was the main piece to that. Jason Kelce.
They draft a lot of pieces that they play.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely.
Their defensive line's young.
Jalen Carter, of course, is there.
Their defensive backfield's now going to be young.
Yeah, they just retooled that secondary overnight.
But now we're seeing the NFC load up on young quarterbacks, drafting well. Chicago said 85. The hell year is that? Our GM was born that year. We're going offense, baby. They got DJ Moore. They've got Roma Dunze, Caleb Williams now. They've got Cole Kmet. That team can score. Green Bay can score. San Francisco, even with Brock Purdy, can score. Philadelphia, I wonder. I really do wonder. I love A.J. Brown. I love Devonta Smith.
They might just be stuck in place. It might be a rut, or it might just be a needing to recreate an identity.
Maybe. I look at him, and then, oh, we also have another running back going off the board to Tampa here. Bucky Irving out of a big Oregon day already. A huge Oregon day.
Big Oregon day.
But Nick Sirianni looks lost in the sauce most of last year. I mean, they were having serious
part of it also is everything is crumbling around
him.
Them, though.
Oh, yeah, but they had serious conversations about firing him.
1 year after winning Coach of the Year, too.
Serious conversations.
Who's that?
Nick Sirianni.
Sirianni.
Yes.
So, Philadelphia, I love what they're doing draft-wise, but I've loved what they've done draft-wise for almost over a decade now at this point. And they are very much an up-and-down organization.
Should we take our break now to get the Bills pick on time?
Sure, let's take a timeout. On the other side, we should have the Bills pick at 128 here in the fourth round, their first pick of the afternoon, so don't go anywhere. We've got your continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft here on WGR. Welcome back. Our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft chugs along. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, DJ TJ Luckman on the board. We've got pick 126 upon us. It is the Detroit Lions. Derek, why don't we get caught up on the last five picks or so?
Sounds good. It would help if I turned my mic on. No, that would be a big deal here. So, Michigan taking tight end A.J. Barner out of Michigan. The Bears deciding we have four picks.
Punta!
Yeah, baby!
And, Zach, just recap the Bears again for me real quick. The way you said it off air was just brilliant.
We're going to take our quarterback of the future. We're going to take a cool wide receiver. I think they took a linebacker at some point yesterday.
And then in round four, they just decided we're taking a punter.
Peace out, Detroit.
We're out of here.
Like, I love that. Like, and also, with that being said, I know we've probably
is done.
I think we've got like 3 weeks till the schedule comes out. Yeah. Packers at Bears, Monday Night Football to open up the season.
But the Bears take punter Torrey Taylor out of Iowa, and their day is done. That was their fourth selection.
And
that's
don't
the
disrespect
only
him.
That
2023
done.
Ray Guy Award winner.
Yes.
Wait. Are they wearing Dan Campbell jerseys?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a little.
Wait, no. I said I wasn't going to judge anything they did. I can't.
That's
I
true.
I cannot do it.
We have to see what those.
I'm okay
are.
With it. Yeah, honestly, that's fine.
Oh, I didn't know.
No.
All I'm seeing is 89 on the front.
Oh, you love it?
Anyway, continuing on.
Everybody's
here.
Behind that guy. Sorry, go ahead, Derek.
Tight end Cade Stover out of Ohio State going to the Houston Texans. I do like what Houston's been doing here this year as well. Safety Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest at 124 to the 49ers, and then Bucky Irving,
ooh,
running back out of Oregon.
Liked him a lot.
Pick 25 of this round.
And he goes to
Buffalo's
Tampa to
away.
Be Rashad White's primary backup, so it's a nice pickup.
Lions pick is in, and then we'll be two picks away from Buffalo at 128.
There you have it. We are updated and good to go.
Ready spaghetti.
I can't get past Detroit. Everyone showed up on day three, and they're like, you know what we should do? We're the black alternate versions of Dan Campbell, including Dan Campbell.
Did he play in Detroit?
Yeah,
he did.
I'm almost positive he did. Let me check.
Because I know he played in Dallas, right, for a year?
I'm fairly certain he played Detroit.
I also...
He was on the 0-16 team. I'm almost positive.
Oh, yeah. That's bad vibes. That's bad. I'm surprised they drafted him.
Right?
Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, boy.
Anywhere it was number 89?
I think so.
That's... special.
That's like part of the magic of Dan Campbell. Like, he was part of it, so he knows the struggle and all that.
He was bathed in the fires of hell.
Yeah, yeah. He's basically Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 89. They are wearing, wow. I think they're actually wearing those black alternate jerseys they wore during
that
era.
What year is Detroit's winning the season again?
2007.
No, those are the ones they just came out with, for sure.
Okay.
So in 2007, Dan Campbell had one catch for 1 yard.
Yeah, baby.
But he fought like hell for that yard
and
that catch, and you know it.
Oh, man, what a season that was. In 2006, they went 3-13. Then we get the 0-7.
In 2006, Dan Campbell had his best season. 32 catches, 308 yards, 4 touchdowns.
In 2007, they went
7-9. Like, legitimately a decent tight end year.
It was 2008 when they go 0-16.
Oh, well, so 2008 they go 0-16?
Yeah.
He had one catch for 21 yards that year.
Well, that's for a first down, most likely.
It was a first down. Statistically, it's right here.
And that's good efficiency.
And I like that Dan Campbell's wearing his own jersey.
Yeah.
I like that even more.
Yes. Yes.
It would. I think it would have been funnier if he didn't. Because he wants to be humble and
he wants to be humble.
Like or nobody
so he wears like Matthew Stafford.
Or nobody told him. Like nobody. That would have been so much funnier.
I think that's what would make it great.
Yeah.
Is if everybody just showed up.
And nobody tells him.
Nobody tells him. He's the only guy in kind of like,
just like why a regular, are all like, of you wearing shirt? My jersey? What's going on here?
We have the Bills pick.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
All right, Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report. He's been on top of all of this.
He has been.
Is Kentucky running back Ray Davis.
Mm.
Okay.
Physical back with a ton of juice next to James Cook.
You know what's awesome?
Jordan Schultz is saying about him.
Not using a day two pick on a recycling position.
Small. He's 5'8".
Oh, there's so much for that power discussion.
Like the most Bills running back pick ever. Devin Singletary's what, 5'7"?
5'8", 211.
Oh, he is stocky.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Running back Ray Davis out of Kentucky is the pick for the Bills here. That's their only fourth-round pick of the year. They have 4 fifths, though, coming up. That should be interesting.
Yeah, he is a...
How do you feel, though, this is not Audric Estime? By the way, as well, Dane Brugler on his running back sheet, he has Ray
as... He's got him at 5'10", 216. This is... okay, well, he's listed on Dane Brugler's draft guide as 5'8". So I would guess these are all their official combine numbers.
Yes, I would imagine. And he's his ninth-ranked running back. Audric Estime, though, ranked as his seventh one. He's still on the board, right? And then he ran 4.5, 240. Again, like Nate said there, 5'8", but 211. Stocky as hell. And as well, they get somebody. He is one of the older players, though, I believe, in the draft. He's 24 and a half years old. So they're getting a guy that has been there and done it throughout his college career. All right. I mean, it's kind of a need. They kind of knew they needed to go there. But they take a running back. Interesting.
Yeah, running back I thought would be addressed today.
I would have loved Bucky Irving, though.
Yeah, I mean, he goes a couple picks before.
I would have loved Bucky Irving.
I liked Will Shipley, to be quite honest.
Will Shipley, yep. Well, Will Shipley did kind of everything on, like, bad Clemson teams. And I don't mean that like disparagingly, but I mean like he was kind of like the only guy you were there to watch at times on their offense. Really, with like the NIL era, Clemson has fallen off, and Will Shipley was good. He's solid, runs a faster 40 time, but he's not as big as they're going to get with Ray Davis. I mean, he's 5'10", 206. I think their thing with Ray is just he's a bigger dude in a smaller man's body kind of deal.
Yes, definitely a bigger back. So it looks like right now going into the training camp, it's going to be James Cook, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson as your three running backs. Maybe they add another camp body later on in the undrafted free agent pool. But
I like this though, because we were talking about it yesterday about our fears about Trey Benson possibly being the pick at 60. And we thought, we were having a discussion about this. They recycle the position a lot. This is the time to do it in day three if you're going to constantly be swapping players in and out of the position.
Yep.
You shouldn't constantly be using the premium assets for these kinds of players at a position that, A, the league has been walking away from, and B, you have been recycling them a lot. Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, already gone.
I mean, this has been my thing, too. If they took a running back today, or, I mean, even yesterday, I'm still very convinced they're not signing James Cook to a second contract. I think they're just going to ride out his rookie deal and let him go. And I would imagine now with a fourth-round pick of Ray Davis, if he works out at all...
It's a cruel...
That kind of fits of, like, we're just going to take a random veteran or two and have the one young guy that we've drafted and just kind of keep recycling, keep it going.
It's a cruel, unfortunate kind of fate money. For the position.
It is.
As a whole, around the league, not just here in Buffalo, but
There's always going to be some guys that pop off. I mean, we also kind of saw it this year with free agency of a number of guys get paid relatively solid contracts, mainly because I think the salary cap is going up, and so teams feel a little bit more comfortable keeping some of these running backs around. But you also have guys like Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, of course, that... Josh Jacobs are in the league and are very, very productive, very good across the board. I imagine that's why they're there. But, I mean, It's interesting. He's an SEC running back as well. I will tell you, and this is always going to be my thing, I am always kind of a little bit nervous on the age factor, him being 24 years old already as a running back.
Just a recycling guy.
Yeah, I mean, very clearly going to be a recycling guy, I would imagine.
Yeah, again, it's the cruel nature of the position in this league nowadays. I wish it was a little bit more stable for running backs. You know, they're players too. And
another running back off the board as well.
Running back run.
As San Francisco. Let me just pull this up here real quick. I mean, yeah, we've got running backs now really going off the board.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
Three straight picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a surprise. Again, given the position.
And three of the last six, I believe.
Yeah, given the position.
Will Shipley goes to the Eagles, and then Louisville's.
Will Shipley to the Eagles?
Yeah. And then we've got Isaac Gerardo of Louisville going to the 49ers.
So that makes four of the last five running backs.
That's aggressive.
Irving to Tampa, Shipley to Philly, Davis here to Buffalo, and then...
That is a run at a position if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, and again, that's the nature of the position at this point.
With literally just Detroit being like, we're actually going to take an offensive lineman out of British Columbia. That's going to be our guy.
Canada?
Like, that's Giovanni Bau. That's, yeah. I kind of like it. All right. It's a hell of a run at the position now.
Yeah. We're heading to Canada now for the offense tackles.
Let's go to the phones. We got a phone call. Let's grab one. Let's go to Cliff, who is a Kentucky fan, wants to talk about Ray Davis. What do you got for us, Cliff?
So we got a very good player here. I don't know if y'all know his backstory at all, but he was actually in the foster care system for a long time because of his parents being incarcerated. So he's got a story that pulls on your heartstring. But when he came to Kentucky, he fell in love. And you can tell it's one of those kids that just loves football. He tore up Florida. I want to say close to 200 yards.
Yeah, I think it was 230 against Florida.
Dude, that game was amazing. We just kept on feeding him the ball. So in the fourth quarter, it could be our punch in the mouth running back at the end of the game, even goal line running back, maybe take something from Josh Allen. So I like the pick a lot. You know, I was kind of hoping for more safety help, but I know that's kind of not where we are. We don't like the young guys there. We go for the veterans. But I'm excited for Ray Davis. I think, you know, 24, but just do one contract, and it's okay. You know, we can continue to get these running backs. We've already known how this story goes. But Ray Davis for the next 3 to 4 years, perfectly happy with it. And I think everyone in Buffalo will love this guy's story, love this guy's attitude towards football. I think we got a gem here. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Cliff. Appreciate the background. Thanks thanks for giving us a shout.
He had 21 touchdowns from scrimmage last year, including 7 receiving touchdowns out of the backfield. And that was first among running backs in this draft class. So he also kind of fits what the Bills, I mean, have been desperate to get over the last few years, which is a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Ray Davis seems to fit that.
Ray Davis, and one of his odd thing, like one of these fun facts with him is over 1,000 yards for 3 different schools. Like, it's
just
consistency in production no matter where he's been.
Love the inner SEC transfer, by the way, as well, because Vanderbilt barely counts.
Yeah.
Go but to Kentucky.
But that's, if you can tough it out in Vanderbilt good. And then get yourself a little bit of upgrade of position,
like
of like situation, again, this day and age with NIL, the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah.
But his consistency is there.
Yeah, his consistency is there. I mean, Cliff also brought up, too, I think he's absolutely right, too. It's just, it's going to be a 4-year contract and recycle. And we've been bringing it up, and I think it's 5'8",
211. So he might be a bit more of a wrecking ball than than the height would give you.
Yeah. He's going to be, Sal just tweeted this as well. He is going to be 25 in November. Man, that is.
Considering the position drops off a cliff at 30.
I do not want to be ageist. I get it. But that is scary.
It's also probably.
Especially because
Audric
Estime
Bill.
Is 20 years old.
Yeah. And I think Estime kind of gives you the same. Now, ultimately, if they're, and again, this is more theory than anything, if their plan is to just 4 years and gone, then it's fine. He's 28 years old, and you essentially got him for his career. Potentially.
Yeah, pretty much. He's almost exclusively a Bill.
Where with Estime, there really might be an argument, you know, if he's just even solid or fine, of, guys, he's 24, maybe we do just sign him back just because, you know, to a 2-3-year deal, get him for his entire prime.
But with how the Bills handle the running back position, this is exactly the candidate you'd want.
Yeah, get a guy that scores touchdowns.
Little
that
battle
was a big
tested.
Reason why they drafted Devin Singletary out of Florida Atlantic was he scored, I think, 26 touchdowns just from rushing.
This is going to be a hard-nosed runner, too.
Yeah.
Guys, I posted a tweet that it's time to start. I posted a list. Time to start arguing about which of the wide receivers that are currently still available in free agency that the Bills are going to sign on June 1st.
I mean, it's going to happen, right? Like, I'm fairly convinced they're not going to draft a wide receiver now anymore. The board just is not falling, I think, the way that they want them to. Now, looking at the list you've put out, I'll tell you right now, I don't want guys like Hunter Renfrow. I think they've already got too many slot receivers, and really what they need is someone to stretch the field. You brought him up, I think, either in segment or right out of break. Marquez Valdes-Scantling makes a ton of sense there. I think Russell Gage makes a ton of sense there. DJ Chark is a guy I have loved basically forever since he came out of LSU. I kind of would love if they could just give him like a one-year deal. I think that would really work. And Mecole Hardman might be the
Rather have Jamal Agnew than Mecole Hardman. You'd rather have Agnew? But, yeah. Both those guys would be cheap.
Yep.
They wouldn't even have to wait till June 1st if they wanted to sign one of those guys.
They could do it tomorrow.
And I think all these guys are one-year deal opportunities. Michael Gallup could be an interesting name. You know, ever since the ACL, he has not been the same player. But that's a deep threat. That's a down-the-field kind of guy. I continue to think that there would be smoke between the Bills and Odell Beckham Jr. because Odell Beckham Jr. Is not going to cost what he cost last year. I mean, he had a bit of a down season in an offense that doesn't pass the ball a lot. I still think that Odell Beckham Jr. probably has some good football left in him. I think if he came in,
I hope so.
And you could probably put him out. If the Bills signed Odell Beckham today to a one-year, you know, $5 million heavy incentive deal, he is their number one receiver?
Potentially, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, potentially. Which I don't love.
No, of course not.
When you say it like that, it's like, yeah, potentially, but also,
But I guess here's my question to you guys is, if the Bills decide to go into the season with what they have and they don't add any of these veterans that we're talking about, does it signal a greater narrative about the team to you?
Yeah.
What does it say to you?
They do want to run the ball more.
Okay.
I would say it doesn't move the needle one way or another for me because they went and they spent a premium asset on a wide receiver. They went with the first pick of the second round, which is oftentimes players that threaten on that first round selection status, and they still spend a premium asset to get a receiver. That tells me that everything should be okay. Curtis Samuel is not a bad player.
No.
And I think
But if Curtis Samuel gets hurt, what happens?
Then we have ourselves some interesting discussions. I don't think they're done.
We have discussions.
I don't think they're done either, but at the same time, if they don't do anything, what else is there that you can get for a cap-strapped team that sees the rest of the pile and goes, nah.
No.
Because that's what it is. It's a recycle pile.
They've got a feature on Ray Davis, by the way.
Oh.
On ESPN, if you're interested. Apparently Beautiful. From San Francisco. So his story is, I know we had a caller, Cliff Call-In, who's a Kentucky fan, tell us a little bit about Ray Davis' story. But clearly it's one that ESPN wanted to feature.
So it has resonated.
That's cool.
Do want to give an update as well, since we're talking about weapons. The Kansas City Chiefs, they are taking TCU tight end Jared Wiley.
Okay.
That also just, like, you need to start preparing for Travis Kelce to potentially not be here very soon. I know he's talking about now he's going to play until, like, Reed retires, but he did not have a good regular season at all, and he kind of came alive in the playoffs. I wonder, though, how much is really left in that tank. I really, really
It's probably not much.
I would imagine there's not much left.
I hope there's not much.
Well, we'll see. We will see. How many
I
picks
genuinely
left
hope
round?
They...
Four We're pretty close.
Hang on. Let's look at the...
We've got four left.
Yeah,
four left.
And then the Bills have five selections in the fifth round, including...
They have somehow kept all four fifth-round selections.
And maybe the board is just falling their way.
And listen, guys, you also have to have...
You have to have someone to
deal
with.
You have to have suitors.
Yeah.
You have to have someone that wants to trade with you.
And you know what, though? We were seeing on day one as well, there was not a lot of love to even get back into the first round. There really wasn't even any action just in terms of just swapping picks and getting something for the future. A lot of teams, it feels like they're happy and content to just kind of take guys as they go. And I'm fine with that. I do wonder, though, again, like, does a wide receiver come off the board here for the Bills?
It also might be that the market is interesting because, like, one of the few trades of this past round, the Dolphins gave up a 2025 third.
That's right.
They paid a steep price. Buffalo probably just doesn't want to do that. So teams are just not listening at this point. Yeah. Boards are falling a lot of people's way, I think. And that's the interesting part about it.
So here's the cool part about Ray Davis, and I read this up on one of his draft profiles as well. Again, this is the Bills' fourth-round pick at 128th overall running back out of Kentucky. That, yes, he's a change of pace back, bigger guy, ran a 4.5, 240. Was the first wide or the first running back in the SEC to run for 1,000 yards for two separate SEC schools. Really does not miss a beat if he if Cook comes off the field in the pass game. He did a lot of good things as a pass catching back at Kentucky as well. So something to keep an eye out too. That he's a guy that will help in the blocking game, and also be a guy that can be a pass catcher out of the backfield on third down as well.
Jaden Hicks also going to the Chiefs. They had two picks here to round out the fourth
safety
round
as well, right? Jaden Hicks,
safety, yep. Yes,
out of Washington State. Yep.
He was somebody I kind of love for Buffalo, if they didn't get a safety yesterday, to maybe get one today. He was a name I liked a lot. So he goes to Kansas City as well. It's fine. It works. It's solid. So now we've got the Jets at 34 and San Francisco at 35 picks-wise in the fourth round.
And then the Bills are at 6-9, so they can
be coming up quick.
We're going to be coming up quick on a couple players here for the Bills.
That's been the worst part of this, is we've had like 35 picks in between when the Bills go each time. It's been brutal.
All right, let's take a timeout. We've got 144 here on the other side. We'll get you caught up any picks we miss. Again, as Derek has mentioned, that we've got Bills coming up quick here in the fifth round. Timeout, other side. Our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft continues on here on WGR. Coverage here on WGR with Nick Erie, Zach Jones, and Derek Kramer, who went over to the other room to get on the conference call for the newest Buffalo Bill, Ray Davis. Coverage of the NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Browdy Construction, join us in building Buffalo, and by Upstate Honda Dealers for great deals. Visit your local Honda dealer today. Zach, we got some picks to update you on.
Yes, we do. So we'll leave it where the Bills picked Ray Davis at the 128th overall pick, of course, here in the fourth round. The San Francisco 49ers took also a running back, this time out of Louisville. Isaac Garrado, I believe, is his name. Following that, TJ Tampa is a cornerback we've been talking a lot about today. His fall has been well noted. Out of Iowa State, he goes to Baltimore. Then the Chiefs, they make two picks in the last five here. They take Jared Wiley, the tight end out of TCU. The Lions get back on the board. They trade up, and they go take the safety out of Utah, the other safety out of Utah, Sione Vaki, I believe is how it is pronounced. Another safety then goes off the board to the Chiefs. Jaden Hicks out of Washington State, definitely somebody I kind of liked for the Bills to go get if they did not take Cole Bishop yesterday. And then the Jets took Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. And then just now to wrap up the fourth round, really the last wide receiver I kind of liked for the Bills to go, goes here to San Francisco. That is Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. And with that, the fourth round is officially done. We are on to the fifth round of the draft, where the Bills have four picks. Their first coming up, the sixth overall pick of the fifth round, and number 141 of the draft. They also are picking at 144. They are also then going to finish out at 160, and is there one more here? And 163. It's fun. Super fun. Yeah, super fun. Big day.
DJ Lookman! If you need, at the break, we could go, and I could record your hype intro with those. Hey, DJ Lookman, if you want. I'm just saying. I'm just going to take that.
That's pretty much it. That's all I needed.
Pretty cheap. I'm a pretty cheap voiceover guy, so.
When he says,
I'm going to pay you double your normal rate I give you.
Wow.
That's big.
What's double zero? It's still zero, right?
Go.
I'm pretty sure.
You're making out good there, I think.
Yeah, you're making out real good there.
I mean, market rate.
Can't beat it.
One of my favorite, just as a side note, because, we are into the fifth round, and Whenever you go to a restaurant and there's something on the thing that says MP, you know, market price, mm-hmm. it's because they can make up whatever price they want.
And, the market is whatever they decide.
Right. And the other day I went to a restaurant and there was burgers and it was like a build your own burger thing. And the beef was market price.
What kind of beef was it?
I think it was your standard run of the mill. I don't know if they were doing anything special with it.
What are they doing with cows that's
right,
a thing?
Right. Right. I mean, I know steak sometimes.
Is it a grass-fed
like
cow?
Wagyu,
is it?
Right.
But the
was
beef
it humanely,
was market priced.
I don't even know how to say this part, but yeah, you know what
like,
I'm where
like,
going.
Like beef
what?
Chuck should be pretty
beef
cheap.
Chuck.
You know?
Like, I expect that out of a lobster or
yeah.
a steak,
yeah.
you know, from a steakhouse.
Oysters.
Sure.
You know, cuts of halibut and such.
Sure. I mean, yeah. you know, the fishermen catch different amounts every day.
Right.
I,
right.
The market
Some
makes sense to me there.
And listen, if I'm eating an endangered cow species, I would prefer not to.
What the
right.
hell did I just walk into?
Listen, I like I said, we...
Market price.
Ray Davis, market price.
Ray Davis, market price. Bill's about to get going in the fifth round.
No, actually, right now, we're talking about market price as it pertains to what wide receivers are left on the free agent market.
Yeah,
there's none.
I'm totally out on the draft. I'm totally out on the draft now. They're going to walk. I think.
What about Jamari Thrash?
I don't know if he fits really a role that the Bills do have.
Someone mentioned Terrace Marshall as a potential trade candidate. I'd be interested in that.
Oh, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be at all.
No?
I haven't done anything in the league at all.
Yeah, I mean, who has? I haven't done anything
That's
in the league.
A fair point. I mean, I haven't. I've had an opportunity, though.
And we'll pay you market price for it.
Right?
That's right.
I don't know.
I think Terrace Marshall would just be another kind of like Trent Sherfield, Deonte Hardy of like, we kind of like try to build it up because they're athletic. They ran
well,
a good
40. Also, it's more like you're just kicking a tire.
Yeah.
That's what those signings really were.
It just won't mean anything.
Maybe they didn't use them properly and maybe we can. And the answer was just no.
I think
not
the Bills
good.
Should
Washington.
Just give Von Miller, or who do you go to?
No, I mean like Malik Washington.
Yeah,
Malik Washington's a name too.
I think that Brandon Bean should sign Odell Beckham Jr. just so that Von can be right one time.
Just one time. One time.
Let him be right about something.
That can't happen. That simply can't happen.
Do you think they watch his stuff, and as soon as he says something, it's like, well, can't do that. Can't let him be right about this one.
I'm in all seriousness, like I feel like the Bills brass, everybody watches those videos or watches him make a pick and go, well, guys, we have our decision. Not that. Because if they make it, elder gods will rise from the earth and smite everybody. That's the only explanation. No one has ever been wrong more.
Not only that, but...
Miller.
Both.
The next time they ask Von about that, it'll be a whole answer about it's like, oh well, I was thinking about it
or
and just
I
you know
just, I need media credentials.
Or is Von
come
Miller
training camp to just ask Von when you make these predictions?
What goes into it? What's
hey,
your
what
process?
Happened?
What if he's what a happened? PSYOP? Like the ultimate smokescreen.
He's very good at that, if that's
he's,
the case.
I was gonna say he's brilliant at
no,
that.
No, like the Bills have made a decision of what they're gonna do and be like, Von, post this.
We paid you all this money. You're here to get sacks and absolutely throw everyone off.
Throw everyone off
that's
the trail.
It. That's it. And if you
we're
can't
trading
get sacks,
back this
really
year,
throw everybody off.
We're trading back this year. We need you to tell people that we're moving up.
I mean, just come on.
No, let's take a timeout really quick. On the other side, we could get Sal Capaccio, who can join us live from One Bills Drive to get us caught up on their most recent pick. They've got two picks coming up here at 141 and 144. We're currently hanging out at 137. I'm Nate Geary. That's Derek Kramer. The other side of me is Zach Jones. We are covering the 2024 NFL Draft here on WGR, and I appreciate TJ Luckman for playing some more on drugs on the outro on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.